This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number three. Thanks for joining us. We got top five and bottom five year-end edition for the regular season. This should be interesting because it's not just a week-by-week thing now. We're now going to be able to process the full 17-game schedule for these teams in terms of top five, bottom five. I'm going to do my bottom five a little differently. Top five pretty much remains the same, but bottom five, there may be some teams you think are going to be in there that aren't in there, and I'm going to explain when we get to the bottom five portion of this hour. Spending this morning talking about Georgia winning the national championship last night, sort of a redemption for Stetson Bennett, who had a really bad game in the SEC title game, redeemed himself somewhat against Michigan, but I think everybody was looking to see what he would do against Alabama. You know, beating Michigan is one thing, but if he had followed that up with another poor performance against the Crimson Tide, that is what this season would be remembered for. And I can only imagine the serious pressure that he must have been under all week. At the beginning of the game, he did look like he was flustered, like he was really nervous. And I think you are. I mean, sometimes you kind of forget that they're young kids. I mean, he's 23, but he's still a young guy. But a lot of these guys are 19, 20. And, you know, you put them in these positions for where it's the big stage and it carries a level of importance. I mean, it's kind of unfair, but it's not at the same time that we sort of put, at least a fan base puts all this pressure on young men to sort of erase a long drought. I mean, if you're on the current Georgia team, you had nothing to do with the fact that 40 years of futility in a national championship, that you can only control what you can control, but you feel the weight of that fan base looking at this team in particular and saying, this is a special team. This is different than all the other Georgia teams that have fallen short. This team is really special. And to sort of carry that all the way into that game against Alabama, knowing what it means, you can see why Stetson Bennett would sort of break down in tears. He lived in Georgia. He grew up in Georgia. He wanted to play there. He knows what it's like to have generations saying, only if, we can't bring back Herschel Walker, only if. That must have been, you know, something he would have loved to have erased, and he did. And now his life is never going to be the same again. As long as he is around that fan base, they will never let him forget what he means to them forever. Until the day he leaves this earth, that fan base will remind him that you are my quarterback for the one moment in my life with this team that I was overjoyed and filled with emotion.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this is where we do top five, bottom five, as we've got now 18 weeks of NFL action to digest, regular season edition, as we continue along with this. I mean, what an amazing year it's been. What a fun year it's been. We didn't have that one dominating team that whole season that we were just like, that's the one. Yeah, it's the one you got to go beat. We've changed up our top five a lot. Yeah, maybe the number one team has been moved very little over the last few weeks, but
kind of remain in the top five.
But it's been fun to see different teams come up and down. I mean,
and you know what? I pat ourselves on the back for taking swings and sometimes swings and misses.
Yeah,
on teams that were like, you know what? I'm going to put them in the top five. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so let's start with five all the way to number one, and just in the way of processing this entire season. My number five team, this is where I put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You may not know it, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the exact same record as the Green Bay Packers. The problem with the Buccaneers is it doesn't feel like they've flowed a lot. There have been come-from-behind wins, last-second victories against bad teams, drama off the field. I like this Buccaneers team a lot, and I think they have a chance to repeat, but the last 2 weeks, it was poured on late against Carolina, a team that has Sam Darnold at quarterback and nothing else, and even that's nothing. And then a last-minute win against the Jets, plus the Antonio Brown stuff. They're going to face an Eagles team that's really spunky, and that's a bad word, but it's just, you know, can really be a pain. I think the Buccaneers win this game, but the reason they're not higher is that I just really want to see them in the playoffs before I start making judgments on them. That's why Tampa Bay is five.
Well, for me, number five, this is where I put the Cowboys.
Cowboys, okay.
I mean, it was an impressive victory on Saturday against a preseason Eagles team. That's the best I can describe it. But, you know, when this team is firing on all cylinders and hopefully everyone can remain healthy throughout the playoffs, I think this is a very dangerous team. I think
very
this is a team that
yeah.
can actually go all the way to the Super Bowl. You know, I love the fact that they have a two-headed running attack. Just, you know, and this defense is a strong defense. And like I said, if they can remain healthy through the playoffs, this is someone to be that we're going to be talking about week in and week out.
Yeah, I do too. I agree completely. Number four on my list is Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee is a great team. I think they're a good team. And I think with Derrick Henry, they can be a really, really good team. But I don't think they're a great team. I think there's something about this Titans team that I think doesn't put the same level of fear in as other AFC top teams. Whether it was Brady and the Patriots, Manning and the Broncos, Roethlisberger and the Steelers, Mahomes and the Chiefs, whatever team would own that top spot, you had to really worry about them. Places where, you know, going on the road and playing there was tough. The quarterback was really good, could make things happen, even in bad situations. I don't think the Titans have that. I don't think they have a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill that can make things happen when the going gets tough. I don't think Nissan Stadium is a very difficult place to play. And I live in Nashville, and this is the things people are talking about here. There's something about this team that makes them a little worried. I do have them in the top five because I think they belong there. They went 12-5, and they're the number one seed in the AFC. But this is as low as I can go with them. I can't put them any higher than that. I think there are other AFC teams that would deserve a higher ranking. I feel better against, but the Titans are number one in the AFC, so they deserve to be in the top five, and that's why I put them at four.
Matt, you know what? That's where I have the Titans as well.
Yeah.
And mainly for this fact, you know, they were able to win the AFC. They were able to get that first round bye, and they did not have to use Derrick Henry against
the
Texans.
And that's a lot, and I will give them credit for that.
You know, that was huge. But it just goes to show you what this Tennessee Titans team is without Derrick Henry. They struggled to get by the Texans.
Now, they did. They had a 21-0 lead, and they could not hold that.
Yeah, the Texans are playing a little bit better, but to allow the Texans to come back like that in the second half, I don't know if they were resting players because I don't know all of the Titans' defensive, you know, the starters or who's in, who's out type of thing. So I don't know if they were resting players and just allowed the Texans to claw back. Ryan Tannehill looks sharp at times, but he's not consistent enough. But, like you said, you know, they are the leaders. They did win the AFC East. They're the number one seed overall. We have to put them in the top five.
I got to put them in the top five.
And, you know, slotting them at four, I don't know what that really says because I do have an AFC team that's ahead of them.
They really would benefit if their stadium was a real intimidating place. It just isn't. The Nashville fans are great. The Titans fans are loyal. They scream and holler. But it's not the same as like Heinz Field. It's not the same as Mile High or Foxborough in the AFC or even Arrowhead. It just doesn't have that same feeling. So I don't think teams are intimidated to come to Nashville. There is, like, Lambeau Field can be really, really intimidating. Players have talked about stepping on there and just hearing that crowd. Nissan Stadium doesn't quite have that. Number three on my list, this is where I put the Cowboys.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think the Cowboys have got everything right now working for them. I think they've got a great running attack. I think Dak is throwing the ball well. I think defensively, when everybody's healthy, they're a real force. Jerron Diggs can get an interception. Micah Parsons can grab a sack. There's so many things to like about the Cowboys. Now, does that mean that they're Super Bowl bound? No. Will they find a way to maybe lose a game in the playoffs where they had a lead and blew it and all those? Yeah, you can still see a sort of self-destructing mechanism that can come into this. There have been good Cowboy teams before that have failed to get it done. But, man, I do like this version of the Dallas Cowboys, man. I really do. That's why they're three on my list.
Yeah, number three for me, this is where I put the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Tom Brady, we trust.
13 wins, man. I don't care 17 games
wins,
or not. 13
NFC
wins
NFC South champions. I mean, they improved on who they were last year. It's mind-boggling to me that, 22 years later, we're still talking about this kid.
It is amazing.
I can't even call him a kid. I'm a year older than him.
I'm going to repeat what I said last week. I'm going to repeat because it was one of my more profound thoughts
is on Ben Roethlisberger. 18 seasons looks every bit of the 18 seasons.
Yeah.
But in his rookie season, he lost to Tom Brady in the playoffs, and Brady was on his way to his third Super Bowl. Just put that in perspective.
Yep.
When you talk about Brady. Where he was when Roethlisberger got into this league, where he is when Roethlisberger leaves this league, and Roethlisberger played a full 18 seasons.
And you can see it in that game when Roethlisberger against Baltimore, even when the week before, he just doesn't have the arm strength anymore.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have the zip on the ball that he needs. And then you watch Brady, and I'm not saying he's a rookie, but, I mean, he looks like a midseason vet.
5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns this season. It's crazy.
I mean, you know, he's still
able to.
He
should win the MVP.
He should. And that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, you bring the Buccaneers back to the playoffs. This is another team that, you know, now you have a guy who, you know, we said it at the very beginning of the show. If you don't have a quarterback, you really don't have anything. This is a team that will win and lose by their quarterback. And this guy knows how to win in the playoffs. He knows what it takes.
Imagine if he wins another Super Bowl. Keep going. Good Lord. We just keep piling them up.
Yeah.
Number two on my list, this is where I put Kansas City.
Same here.
They won nine of 10. Is that what it is? Yeah, eight straight, lost one, won again, 9 of 10.
Thought for a second they were going to lose against the Broncos? No,
that's
not really.
Right. No, never. Not really.
They're back to that. That mantra that we had for them at the beginning of the season that went away, that even though they look out of it, they're not out of it. And now I think they're back doing that again.
I do too. And this is not the same team Buffalo played. This is not the same team Tennessee played. This is a team that will make quick work of the Steelers. And then when they get to those kind of level teams, Bills, Titans, whoever they play next, that you're going to face that same kind of Kansas City team. Yes, it's different in a lot of ways, but it's the same in a lot of ways because of Patrick Mahomes. But Kansas City is the number two team.
Yeah, same here for me.
And number one, Green Bay.
Yep.
They didn't have to do anything last week. They were the only team that really didn't have to do anything last week.
Yeah.
They were. They were the only team that didn't have to do anything. Everybody else was playing for positioning. Titans and Chiefs still had to play their starters. They were the only ones that were, I know, going into week 17, my 17th game, I don't have to do anything.
And I know they lost to the Lions, and we could penalize them for losing to the Lions.
Sure, but why?
Well, like you said, I mean, you know, with nobody on the field, they still put up some big numbers.
That's right.
They still got 30 points against the Lions.
All right, so that's our top five as we go into the playoffs. When we come back, we'll have the bottom five. And like I said, I kind of did mine a touch different. Not too much, but a touch different. We'll continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is time to do the bottom five. And again, this is after the regular season has come to an end. I did mine a little differently, Ron. I it's easy to just take the bottom teams, but I kind of went with more of some of the disappointing teams.
I hear
you. Teams I've got like a little bit of emotion with.
Fantastic.
So here's the deal. I took the Jacksonville Jaguars off the bottom five. Now, really, they do belong in the bottom
yes.
five, right? Of course they do. They're going to pick number one. But they did me a huge favor. So if you don't mind, I'm going to forgive them in this bottom five, because without them, I wouldn't be watching the Steelers in the playoffs. Even if they are losing to the Chiefs, at least I get to see them in the playoffs. So I took them out. But I also took out Detroit. I think Detroit has played hard all season. And I'm just not going to pick on the teams that really struggled this year. And I thought Houston played really well in their final game, and they've been playing well at the end of the season, so I kind of took them out too. But I got some other teams in here that I'm going to keep. So I'm going to get things started at number 28 on the list, moving all the way to 32. I put the Indianapolis Colts here, and they should be ashamed of themselves. 2 weeks ago, they were an unbeatable team that didn't look like they were going to lose to anybody, and they lost two in a row. And they didn't take the Raiders. They took the Raiders for granted, and then I have no idea what the team meetings were leading up into that game in Jacksonville. But my God, did that team look completely unready to play the worst team in the NFL. I think the Indianapolis Colts, you should be ashamed of yourself. All you had to do was beat the Jaguars, and you were going to be in the playoffs. The playoffs! And you still had all the little tools that made you a dangerous playoff team. And now we don't get to see that because you lost. All week long, I kept saying, and Ron kept saying, well, if the impossible happens and Jacksonville does win that game, and you let the impossible happen, how could you? I remember Christmas Day going, holy cow, they just went to Arizona and beat Arizona. Who are they going to lose to? Watch out, Buffalo, Tennessee, New England. Nope. We don't get to see that in action. Well played, Indianapolis. And now you're 28. The only championship you're going to see is what happened last night in your own city. Bye, Colts. There you go. That's my rant.
Nice. Number 28 for me. I kind of took a similar approach to you.
Okay.
But at number 28, this is where I put the Jaguars.
Jaguars, okay.
I'm proud of how they ended their season.
Yeah,
me too. And Jacksonville needs to be proud of themselves, too. And this is why I pretty much put them here, just so we can highlight them. I think all they really need, I mean, you know, they're going to have another high draft. I think they have the number one overall pick. You know, they went ahead and messed around, won a game, and still got the number one pick in next year's draft. You know, go out and get something good. You know, I don't know if it's a weapon for Trevor. I don't know if it's a good defensive lineman. You guys used to be great at picking defensive players. Maybe go back that route. Find the right coach. That's
most definitely.
That's the only thing you need to be concerned with. If you swing and miss in this year's draft, I think that's forgivable. But go out and find the right coach. Yep. Find a guy that is not a quarterback guru. Just, you know, not Bill O'Brien. I'm sorry. Don't be enamored by the fact that, you know, he's with Alabama and Nick Saban gave him a chance. Don't be enamored by that. Just find someone that you know that you can trust to raise Trevor Lawrence up, because that was the one thing we've been talking about all season long, is that we never got to see that big game from Trevor.
And I'm interested where they're going to go. Offensive coordinator, move up to head coach. I mean, I don't know where they're going. I mean, I like Eric Bieniemy as head coach. I still think Byron Leftwich was a really good choice.
I think it's a great idea.
A couple of weeks ago, I think it's a great idea. I know there's a lot of other names floating around now, guys with head coaching experience. I get it. But I think you're right. They really have to make sure somebody is going to come in and be the guy that Trevor Lawrence trusts, and they both work together on building that career and kick-starting that career.
Yep.
29 on my list, and this is where I put the Cleveland Browns. And I think the Cleveland Browns are in the same boat. Yes, they beat a Cincinnati team, but the Cincinnati team, like Joe Burrow didn't even go. He didn't even go. DJ Reader didn't even go. That's how much they didn't need. Like, stay home. It's all good. Don't worry about it. We're just wrapping things up.
Well, because they looked at it.
The Browns did win that game. That's
they looked
fine,
at it but this way, that he's like, okay, you know, we can advance to two. We can advance to three. I think for them, it's like, okay, but it doesn't really matter for us.
Right. You know? But they lost three in a row in four of their last four of five before that win against the Bengals. And like Will Graves said last hour, I have no idea why a team, when you're playing a team like the Steelers, who can't stop the run, and you have Nick Chubb, you make Baker Mayfield chuck it 40-plus times.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous to me. And I'm sorry, this is a disappointing team. This is a losing season after they made a playoff run last year and looked like they had turned the corner. Look, Baker Mayfield is in those progressive ads because he was a likable personality on a team that was starting to do good things. Now he looks like he's not even going to be playing for them in the future. Like, his Q rating is plummeting. This was a bad season that wasn't maligned by a million different excuses. They just didn't play well, and they should have played well. And they're 29 on my unbelievable, I can't believe you were this bad list.
Number 29, this is where I had the Colts.
Good.
I was 1,000% with you just listening to your rant. There's nothing more I need to add except, you know, I mean, if you're a Steeler fan, you're thanking Carson Wentz. They have an issue. Frank Reich, you know what? I'm glad he gave Carson Wentz a chance. Carson, the last two games, I think Carson played himself out of being the starting quarterback in the NFL.
It's really, listen, it's one thing if you play two games against teams that are really tough and you lose, those were not very good football teams,
no.
And they lost to both of them.
When
you need a win, when you know you need a win, they weren't surprised they didn't make the playoffs. They knew they had to win that game against Jacksonville to make the playoffs.
I mean, I think he barely threw for 100 yards against the Jaguars. Of all
and that
teams?
One pick he threw was like awful. That one that went to the sideline, that was it was the coverage was right there, and he still threw that stupid football.
Yeah, no, he threw 185, but he had like a QBR rating of like 14.
Yeah, they
four or something. I mean, something just absolutely ridiculous.
Jonathan Taylor couldn't get in the end zone. I mean, it was kind of nuts.
It was awful. I mean, it was just a complete collapse by the Colts. You don't even have words for it, right? I hope none of them went back to Indy to go see see a championship in their dome.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, and we had Andrew Luck sightings yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and he looked so thin. Did you see that?
Yes.
That was what social media was buzzing about, with Andrew Luck looking so thin.
I know. I'm kind of hoping that, you know, Captain Andrew Luck explains what Andrew Luck has been up to.
Everybody was like, they should call Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck doesn't look like he could play flag football.
No, not right now.
He looks like he's on the super diet.
It's like he's been laying off the squirrel oil.
He's like the Adrian Brody in the Machine diet, where an actor. What was it? Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
Remember, he lost a ton of weight?
He lost a ton of weight.
Looks like he's working out for some film role or something. Holy cow, did he look good.
But Colts, that was
29.
Terrible.
30. This is where I put the Jets. 4-13, bad season. There's nothing else to say. I mean, Zach Wilson at times looked okay, but at most times didn't, like a rookie. Robert Saleh, like a rookie. They're 4-13. There's nothing much. I'm not mad at them for being 4-13, but I'm acknowledging the fact that they were a pretty bad football team. They gave up the most points of anybody in the NFL, and that counts for something. So you're number 30.
Number 30 for me. This is more of like I'm predicting a future type of thing.
Yeah.
And this is where I have the Dolphins.
Dolphins, okay.
For firing Brian Flores. I mean, I did not have him in my bottom five at all. I mean, come on, let's face it. They just missed out on the playoffs.
I don't think we had him in the bottom five when they lost seven in a row.
No. Well, maybe we did.
Maybe we had one or two times.
But this, to me, is a huge step backwards.
I agree.
I have no idea what the game plan is here. I don't care if there's turmoil between the coach and the front office, I get it. I get you have to make a move like that. But, you know, I put this on par when the Chargers fired Marty Schottenheimer after a 14-2 season.
Yeah, you better be really careful here, Miami, because not every coach that you think is going to be a home run is a home run.
Right.
I mean, when they hired Adam Gase, that was kind of one of those decisions like, man, you know, because Gase went from Denver to Miami.
Yeah.
Like, he went from Chicago. He went to Chicago and then became a head coach of Miami. Like, that was like, you could see, like, okay, the Jets were the one that shouldn't have given Adam Gase a chance. But the Dolphins were okay.
But here's the issue
that I
have.
Not everything wins a home run. You got to be careful.
Here's the issue I have. Yes. Tua wasn't Flores' guy.
Right.
He never wanted him. But he got him to start performing. It got to a point where we weren't even talking about the Dolphins. We used to talk about the Dolphins in the sense like, they got to move on from Tua. Well, how are they going to do this? They need to go find another quarterback. They need to do this. They need to do that. And nothing included Tua. Then they just started quietly winning and playing and performing well. I mean, the last half of the season, this was a really good team.
Yeah, it really was.
And now, you know, now they're back to the drawing board. And you got to find a coach that comes in that can actually do Tua the way Flores was able to do Tua.
Number 31 on my list, this is where I put the Bears. And I think the reason I put the Bears here, they went 6-11, is that this was a weird year. I never got the feeling the Bears were committed to anything, right? It was like, well, Andy Dalton is QB1. No, now Justin Fields. Now we're going to do this. Now we're going to do that. Like, it felt like there wasn't a goal for the season. Like, they weren't going to win. Like, when you go with the rookie quarterback, you're not expected to win. I know Matt Nagy knew he was on the hot seat. I knew he was like, I could save my job if we win double digits. So I'm going to start the season with Andy Dalton. Then eventually went to Justin Fields. But at some point, there should have been an understanding within the organization of what exactly was the goal. The goal is to win games with a rookie quarterback, right? You're trying to win games with a rookie quarterback. And they never were totally committed all season to that. So I put the Bears here. They fired Matt Nagy. They fired Ryan Pace. Good job on that. But it was a season of just shaking my head going just, and then when they had Justin Fields in, they didn't do things right with him. It was play calling was off. They just weren't a very good organization this year. Bears are 31.
31 for me. And we got to speed it up here. Okay. How do you do this? Do you do 32A, 32B, or is it 31A, 31B?
Yeah.
Cause my last two teams are interchangeable to me. And that's any team that is in New York playing football.
That's right. The Giants are 32 to me. Let me say this. This is for my Uncle Pete, my Uncle David, my cousin Brian, my cousin Michael, my friend Matt lives in New Jersey, and especially for my dad. You all deserve a better organization than this organization. They have given you Super Bowls, but lately they have given you pure crap, and you deserve better. They are the last team.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Sports Map Radio. So, yeah, so Giants were my last team on my list.
Yeah.
And you made a good point. Both New York teams are terrible.
Both New York teams are terrible. I mean, I was telling you during the break, I said, for me, the Giants cemented being the worst team in the NFL when they attempted a quarterback sneak 3rd and 9 on their own 4.
Yeah, exactly.
Right there, I said, that's the worst team in football.
I don't understand. Like that,
coaching, playing, I mean, I don't care.
I just don't understand. At that moment, if you're going to call a quarterback sneak on 3rd down from that distance, why don't you just send the punting unit out on 3rd down?
Why don't
you just punt on 3rd down? We are going to be punting on 4th down from that location anyway.
Hell, no, you could be worse.
You could be worse. They could back you up.
Where are you going? A quarterback sneak is what? Maybe to get a yard? Maybe
to get a yard,
two?
About a yard. Maybe.
Maybe so, two, maybe because you fell forward. Or
once 4th down occurs from about where you were, you might as well just punt on 3rd down.
Yeah, very easily that could have been, right? You know, from their 4. It's like, now 4th down from the 2.
Yeah, instead of risking your quarterback's health, poor Jake Fromm, why don't you just send the punter out at 3rd down and maybe you surprise the other team a little bit? Hey, let's kick it. Let's punt and maybe catch him off guard and we can just down it at the 40-yard line. Yeah, I don't know. It's so
were they
stupid.
Afraid to let Jake Fromm throw it?
Godly.
Like, why not just, you know, take a chance right there? I mean,
you know, you ever listen to a real football guy talk football? And sometimes you go, man, I don't know half. I don't know a quarter of what this guy knows, right? But then there are other times where you're like, there is no way I am that far off on the intelligent level of this coach. Like, of all the things I've seen in football, there is no way me and him are miles apart in our knowledge of this game. Like, what are you doing? Like, that doesn't make any sense to have a quarterback sneak on 3rd down after you did it on 2nd down. Just like 2nd down, I get it. You try to see if you can just give yourself a little breathing room. Then the 3rd down is the short pass to pick up like 5 yards to give yourself even more.
And hope right? That maybe
it breaks
you get
a first down, right? Yeah. Maybe you break a 1st down, but you normally are like, hey, we're gonna see if we can pick up 4 or 5 more yards on the play.
I can understand, like, you know, you run up the ball in the middle, 1st down, right? 2nd down. I say, even, you know, if you're back there, maybe throw a little pass, a little short pass.
Do something.
I mean, they weren't out of the game at that point.
If you're right? In 3rd down,
I'm trying to remember
tight,
now.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to remember too. If you're in 3rd and tight, like, you're not going to quarterback sneak gets you nothing.
Nothing.
And then you, except if you're Utah and you quarterback sneak for a 63-yard touchdown against Ohio State. I forgot about that one.
Well, maybe he was thinking that.
Jake Fromm would break, break through like the quarterback rising for Utah and break away for a touchdown.
It worked for Utah. What if I did it here? God. I'd be a genius, I tell you. Genius!
Can't believe the playoffs are starting this weekend. My goodness. Just flying through
and
the
you
calendar.
Know what? I mean, I don't know how I still don't know how I feel about seven teams from each division making it in.
You know,
I'm going to tell you this. I love 2 games on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday.
Me too.
Thank you.
I do love that. I agree with you on the 7 things. Look, like you and I were talking about earlier, under the old system, the Steelers are they're not in this thing. They're not in this thing, and that's just the way it is. And now with this new system, look, we can all agree on this, right? When you are adding a playoff team, it is not because you have a plethora of really good teams you're leaving out. The NFL is not usually work that way. When you're adding a playoff team, you are picking up the middle of the pack. Mediocre teams, that's what you're getting, right? That's what you're getting. The Eagles aren't world beaters, you know, whatever, but they're the 6th seed. Who's the 7th seed in the NFC? Is it the, it's not the Eagles. Eagles are 6.
Eagles are 6. Is it the Niners?
Is it the Niners? Yeah, it might be. So maybe the Eagles are 7 because they're playing Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is a 2.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe they are a 7. Okay, I thought they were a 6. But nevertheless, those are the teams you're going to pick up. You're not expanding the playoff because there's, oh my God, there are 12-5 teams that are being left out of the turn. No, it's usually 9-7, this time it's 9-8. Right?
Yeah.
Teams like that, 10-7, 9-8, whatever it is. Those are the teams that are going to be vying for playoff spots.
Real quick, how's this for parity? In the NFC West, they finished 4, 5, and 6 in the playoffs.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing.
They all have different records, too.
Well, we got it right. We said at the beginning that team would send three teams.
And you know what? Let's bring it back. Frank Schaub is still in the running.
He is in the running. Had San Francisco winning it all.
I mean, there was still a point. I think we might have had the Niners in our bottom five going, this team is just putrid. They're terrible.
I should ask him. I should reach out to him and say, you still holding on to that 49er thing?
Yeah.
Because I think he made a futures bet at the beginning of the season on the Niners. I think it's what he said. That he made a futures bet.
If they get hot at the right time, I mean, they had
you make a future bet right now. Who'd you take
for this year?
Right now, you've got the field. If you were to take a futures bet on the Super Bowl champion, is it Green Bay, or do you just go? Well, you know, I've seen this Aaron Rodgers show before. Not end up in the Super Bowl.
No, but I think it is Green Bay, just because you know, knowing it has to go through Lambeau.
Yeah,
that's a game changer for me.
That's true. He has only lost one conference championship
yeah.
in Lambeau.
Now, that's assuming he gets to the conference championship. You know, I mean, that's assuming that he gets to that point, you know, that they win not this weekend, but the following weekend. But it going through Lambeau, I'm looking at all the teams, and it's like every other team here is a warm weather team, except for the Eagles.
That's true.
I mean, look at it. It's Tampa, Dallas, Rams, Cardinals, Niners. They're all warm weather teams.
Yeah.
There's not one team that's going to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? 10 degrees outside, no degrees outside, I'm fine.
It is, I think it's going to be really interesting, though. Like this is going to be without that, there's no two teams with a bye. There's only one. Like, this is kind of an interesting setup.
Yeah.
We used to enjoy the two teams. Like, that's how the Patriots, like, they would get that bye and then go through Foxborough and it became tough. Like it was funny because the news here in Tennessee, here in Nashville, sort of reminded me, and I sort of kind of forgot because you kind of think you know. But they, you know, one of the sportscaster guys said the Titans are two home wins away from going to the Super Bowl, and you start going, yeah, that's right. Like all they have to do is win two games at home against who's ever coming in, and they're off to Los Angeles for the Super Bowl. Speaking of which, is Los Angeles, are they working on that? I forgot to do that story last week.
Yeah, well.
About L.A., like the NFL going, well, you better make sure we got this tightened up.
We'll move
this bad boy if we have to.
I'll be curious.
I don't want Omicron to come in and destroy the potential Super
Bowl.
Well, no,
what everyone's predicting is that they would up and move it just like they did the Rose Bowl.
Right.
You know, it's like they couldn't have the Rose Bowl. Was that last year, right?
Was it? Yeah, it was last year.
Is it last year they took the Rose Bowl and said, oh, we can't have it in Pasadena?
We just had the Rose Bowl. What is going to happen between now and or what we had last week and the Super Bowl that would cause the NFL to move the Super Bowl?
Well, as cases continue to rise, that's where the issue comes in. And California is more reactive to that than other states.
Okay, so what I'd like to know from the NFL is, and play the Super Bowl if you want, I don't care. But I think SoFi Stadium is a phenomenal setting for the Super Bowl.
Oh no, I think it's a perfect setting. I think what they're looking at is not the game itself, is all the other activities that go along with it. And if
so, wait a minute.
And if you have too many restrictions,
rewind that for a second. Stop. So you're saying that all of the other activities could be in like Arizona, but the game would be played at SoFi Stadium.
No, I'm saying that's what will cause the Super Bowl to be moved. Is
not the game.
I think they would move the game.
No. I mean, the game's not the issue. It's everybody coming
in. The game is. I mean, I think they could get the game off with no problem. And everyone's drawing comparisons like, oh, the Chargers played there.
Yeah, it is
an
international media. I get that.
It's that. So. It's also, you know, there's going to be a lot of restrictions. But it's all the outside activities that, you know, especially the week before. The restaurants, the bars, the parties, the this, the that. You know, you know as well as I do, everything that encompasses the Super Bowl week. That's where I think a lot of issues are going to come about. Because if you have too many restrictions, it's like in California, if California's saying, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't have more than, you know, four people in this room. I mean, yeah, I know that's far-fetched, but you get what I'm saying.
Then it ruins a lot of the elements of what's there.
It ruins a lot, and then everyone, you know, that's where they go. It's like, well, okay, let's just, you know, we'll come back to you guys in 2 years.
Well, remember, too, they don't want a repeat of Tampa. Like, they lost out on all of the extracurricular activities. There were so many of those pictures of Radio Row. It was just local radio.
Stations.
It was like Pat Donovan, our friend at DAE, and like nobody else in an empty warehouse.
And be honest with you, I don't even think he went to the, I don't think, whether it was a convention center or whatever room it was.
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. And that's one of my favorite parts
of the Holiday
Super
Bowl. I think they moved it there.
I like it when I see celebrities walking around Radio Row vying to get on radio
shows.
I think that's where
the larger issue is like, how can they go ahead and coordinate this, you know, and have the NFL fan experience? How can they do that if you're not allowed to be in close proximity to anything? That's where I think they would move it out of California to Texas.
They move it to Texas, right?
Well, that's Texas the leading contender, you know. Jerry's probably...
Jerry's like, whatever you need, I will have this here ready for you in a blink of an eye.
Yep.
All you have to do is say yes, and it'll be done.
I will block all the hotel rooms for you guys.
It'll be shiny and new, and you can just come on in. Jerry would have... You know, Jerry would host the Super Bowl every year if he could.
Jerry is like Dubai.
Oh, yeah. Jerry is Dubai. You're right. That's a perfect example. Dubai is always like, oh, you want to come on in?
You guys want fake islands to look like a palm tree?
Why not?
Jerry will get it done for you, too.
Sure. Can't have your sporting event where you are? Come over here. Jerry is exactly like that. Jerry will just bring it all in and enjoy. That'll be.
Especially this year where, you know, he's probably itching because, you know, he wanted to be the first to have a team. Hosting the Super Bowl in their own stadium. And Tampa kind of ruined it for them. But this year, you're looking at that Cowboys team, like, that's got to be a good team.
Can you imagine?
If the Cowboys make the NFC Conference Championship, do you think he is pushing the NFL, like, time to move it, guys?
He's on the phone every second. He is on the phone with Goodell every second.
Goodell's sitting
gonna,
in that lounge
Goodell
chair
is
in his
hand
basement.
His phone to his wife or an assistant. Like, it's Jerry. I'm in the shower. I'm out. I'm in the basement. I don't know. I'm sleeping. I'm dead. Tell him whatever you want. I don't care. I'm not answering that phone. It's Jerry again. Oh, God.
Jerry, listen, he came down with laryngitis. You okay?
In all seriousness, though, I will say this. I don't want the Super Bowl to move. I think that there's a lot of people who are really excited about. But I want SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. I want them to be able to do it right. I did feel bad for Tampa. That's my wife's hometown. And they had the Buccaneers there, and they could not really celebrate that. They really couldn't. I think even if you don't have tickets to the game, I think if you live near a Super Bowl city, it is fun to go in that area, see all the cool things that are around for Super Bowl week. It's always neat. It's fun. There's a level of excitement. People in Tampa couldn't do that. The surrounding towns couldn't do that. They couldn't go and enjoy it. And well, I think L.A. with this new stadium and everything that they went through to get that new stadium, if they can't do it this year, just give it to them again and make sure they can do it the way it should be done.
Right, and that's where the difference is because Florida, Tampa, they were much more open.
Right.
The California, I mean, they've already said, like, you know, hey, you go to this restaurant, mask required. You go to this, you know, you can't have more than this amount of people. And I think that's where it's going to hurt. It's, you know, like I said, it's not the game itself. It's all those secondary things that make up Super Bowl week.
Yeah, exactly. You can shove those people. You can shove the players in and put them in a hotel and play a Super Bowl. But it's not just that. It's the thousands of other things that are going on in Super Bowl week. You're right.
Well, as that is, I mean, the teams aren't set to arrive until the 10th.
Right. Yeah.
Super Bowl's on the 13th. Right. So, I mean, they're keeping them far away as long as possible. I mean, it's a modified Super Bowl no matter what.
Yeah, we might. Yeah, that's true. Good point. So we'll keep an eye on that story. All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up this hour as Wake Up Call continues.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's Wake Up Call as we wrap up this hour as we head into, again, the playoff week. Tomorrow should have some more teams. We were just making a joke that we were doing one-and-dones, potential one-and-dones this week. And we don't mean it that way.
Like, yeah, we're not trying to hurt anyone's feelings.
We're not really, like, if you hear your team, you're like, boy, those guys don't think we have a chance on Sunday. You know, we're having fun. The Steelers were a pretty easy one to do this week.
Yeah.
I was just telling you, I just don't want them to be embarrassed. I don't want like 54 to nothing. Like, look, teams don't put up 60 points, right? Like, they just don't. There's a level of respect where they don't want to embarrass the other team. Sometimes you can't help yourself. right? Sometimes the score gets up there, but they, so teams will usually back off like, hey, look, if we're not putting 60 on the board. It's not college football, for crying out loud. We don't have to win 73-0 to satisfy some booster that is all excited that we put up 80 against, you know, Georgia State.
But sometimes, you know, they back into it unwillingly.
But they do it by accident, right? Because he brought, remember Marino's game, you know, the final game of the season? Sometimes it just happens. There's nothing you could do, right?
Well, like the Cowboys put up, 51?
Yeah, 51. Like if
they,
if
didn't, they didn't try to put up 51 against the Eagles.
Like, let's say the score is 54-10, right? And Andy Reid just dumps out his starters on defense and he puts in a bunch of young people, right? Just like, just go out and play. We're taking out all the starters. We're up by a bunch. And Roethlisberger's still in the game for whatever reason, or maybe Mason Rudolph's in the game for whatever reason, and you're a 22-year-old kid, and he throws you an interception, you're going to return it to the house, right? Like, you're not going to down yourself at the one. Like, if you never play and Andy Reid is giving you a chance to play, you're taking it to the end zone. Or like, and if it makes it 61-10, it makes it 61-10.
Last night when what's the kid's name who got the pick six?
Keeley.
I mean, he could have easily just caught the ball, taken a knee.
Oh, and Georgia would have got the ball. They could have ran out the clock.
And Georgia could have ran out the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think Bama had maybe a timeout or
Keeley
two.
Ringo.
Yeah, Keeley Ringo.
Yeah.
You know, but no.
No, he took it to the house.
Take it to the house.
And here you go, Alabama. Here's the ball back. Just don't do it again. Yeah, exactly. Congratulations, Georgia, national champs of college football. I know the whole region in the southern part of the United States is going crazy for Bulldog love.